We're talking about our words this year, or words we want to add to our vocabulary that are positive, and words we want to eliminate from our vocabulary. So I'm going to help you with one special word today. Exclusive. Exclusive. I know sometimes for those of you that ever look at sales or have sales, you know, come your way through television or Facebook or wherever, it always says exclusive offer. Or it may say exclusive club for you to be a part of. Well, guess what? God is not exclusive. God is inclusive. Includes everyone. Excludes no one. So I want us to think today that the word exclusive or exclusions don't apply to us, and it doesn't apply to any other people into which we have relationship, or we see them, or we're with them, or especially in the church setting. We are an inclusive church body. And we as Christians, we want to include everyone possible that we can ever encounter, to invite them into relationship with Christ. So the word exclusions has to go. And sometimes for those of us that, you know, like to be around people that are like us, and I understand that psychology of that and socialization of that, that's not who we are meant to be as people, as followers of Christ. One thing I know about Jesus, he excluded no one, ever. In fact, the people that were excluded, the lepers, the sinners, the adulterers, the have-nots, the not good enoughs, the righteous that weren't righteous enough, or whatever the other people tried to exclude them for, particularly outside of the temple of God. Those are the very people that Jesus said, hey, come follow me. Come be my disciple. He went and sat with and ministered to and healed all kinds of people everywhere throughout his ministry. And we know that on the cross, he died for everyone, everybody, no exclusions, no exclusions. And sometimes, unfortunately, too often, you know, churches, organizations become an exclusive club. You have to believe a certain way or follow certain rules and regulations to fit in. Well, guess what? We're not an organized religion in this church. If anything, we're semi-disorganized. Which is all fine. Everybody and anybody is welcome here. Anybody and everyone, we want to offer God's love, God's peace, God's joy, God's salvation that Jesus bought for us all so that we could have eternal life. So even if you don't have it all together yet, and you think you should be excluded because of the type of past you may have, the type of things you might have done, some of the things you may still do, or you just don't think that you could fit in, you fit in here because we don't have any exclusions. We're here to help you grow spiritually, but that has to begin by you having a relationship one-on-one with Jesus Christ, because he's the one that came to teach us what God is really like. And God is a God of inclusivity, including everyone. How do I know that? Well, I just happen to have this book right here. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. And even though people may want to try to interpret this in other ways and try to say why and how and that other people should be excluded, doesn't say so in here. Sorry to say. So I'm going to read to you from in here. In fact, John chapter 7, it's actually going to be Jesus speaking. So just in case you wanted to hear directly from God and out of God's lips. Jesus often told the disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen God. And he came as a messenger for God to share the words of God so that everyone could feel a part of, to be included in the family of God. What God sent Jesus to do was to take and make everybody one big, great, big, happy family. How about that? You want to be a part of that family? Okay, awesome, awesome. And there's no exclusion. So everybody gets to come into this family. You're still good with that, right? All right, beautiful. We got the right church here today. Awesome. Okay. John chapter 7. It's during the time of the festival of shelters, festival of tabernacles, as it's called. Essentially, it was a time that the Jewish people, the Israelites, would go to the temple and reflect upon the time when God provided for all of the people during Passover, during the time that they were in the wilderness, and they lived in tents at the time. And God provided for all of their needs. You can find all this back in the book of Exodus. But this is the time when the people would come together at the temple to remind themselves, to tell others of how great God had taken such good care of them as they were ready to leave the land of Egypt and go to Canaan. During that journey through the wilderness, God provided for them. So this is a celebration of that time. It would be a seven-day feast. They would gather at the temple, and there were various different religious ceremonies that they would entail in, reminding people, reading from the scriptures, the Old Testament, and so forth, and they would celebrate just how great God was to them, and to also to teach the people that were younger what God had done for them in their history. And so Jesus goes to this celebration. It's the last week of his life, actually, and he's at that temple. The religious leaders had already been ready to crucify him, to get rid of him, kill him. They just didn't want him around because he was teaching about how everybody was welcome in God's kingdom. And the Pharisees didn't like that so much. They wanted to keep their own little exclusive club. Well, Jesus was going to bust open that club this day. So in John chapter 7, verse 37, it says this. On the last day of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "If you are thirsty, come to me. If you believe in me, come and drink. For the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will come out from within." When he said living water, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not been given yet because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. So let me just kind of tell you why Jesus is saying this, what it actually fulfills. First and foremost, it goes back to the Old Testament in the book of Zechariah as well as Isaiah, speaking out living waters coming forth. That once the temple, once the Messiah came, that Messiah would bring the living waters, which would be refreshment and salvation. So the Israelites, the Jewish people at this festival, they were actually essentially still worshiping it from the Old Testament teachings of God, how God provided. And one of the things that the priest would do during the last day would be he would take a gold pitcher, he would go to the Pool of Siloam, he would take up water, bring it back to the temple, and pour that water onto the altar, awaiting the Holy Spirit to come, because it hadn't come yet. Also showing that the living water in Jerusalem at the time, the only water that there was at the Pool of Siloam because of the way the walls were there and the way very often they would be attacked. Their water only came directly from the mountains down through valleys, through pipes and so forth into Jerusalem, and it would go into the Pool of Siloam. Now, you may remember the Pool of Siloam was also where a lot of the people that were paralyzed would lie beside that pool. And then as the water got stirred up, the water would move because it was now living water. Otherwise, it was stagnant before that, and people would be healed. And so we see Jesus very often being there by the Pool of Siloam. And remember the paralyzed man on the mat? Jesus said, "Get up and go into the pool to be healed." And the man was like, "I can't, sir. No one puts me in there." And he says, "Well, get up here. I'll go on." And he heals the man right then and there by his very words. And so the Pool of Siloam is obviously something that's showing us that living water is what heals. Now, what Jesus was doing when he was at the Pool of Siloam was he was God himself, the Messiah, the living water, which is the Holy Spirit, is water that flows from where? Within us. See, this pool that's there, you had to step into it ordinarily. What Jesus is speaking about, particularly in John 7, but also the fact when he was at the Pool of Siloam, there he was standing, the living water himself. His very words could rise people up from their place of where they were paralyzed and cause them to be healed and restored and refreshed and made new. So we see here in John chapter 7, which you remember John 4, he spoke to the Samaritan woman, right? And Jews didn't like Samaritans, did they? No. And so who speaks to this woman? Jesus. And he offers her what? Living water that she could have within her. Now, there was an example of the fact when the disciples walk up and they see him speaking to her, they're thinking, wait a minute, we're not supposed to include Samaritans, and we're certainly not supposed to include women in our ministry. Well, who was Jesus speaking to? A Samaritan woman, offering her what? Living water that would change her life eternally. And we know the story how that changes her. She goes back and gets some other people and says, come and see the man who knows everything about me, and yet he loves me anyway. And I've got something inside of me now. I want you to have it too. So the Samaritan woman received that day that living water, the Holy Spirit from Jesus to her, one of the very first to receive what she needed. Even though she was excluded, guess who included her? Jesus Christ. You see how he did it even prior to these scriptures here? And in John 7, he says, anyone, everyone, all people, whoever you may be, come and drink of this living water. Back to the priest, right? He went and got a golden pitcher. They would pour water to remind the people of how God would provide living water one day through the Holy Spirit. That had never happened before. Now do you see why Jesus spoke at the end of the festival? Because guess what? Guess what showed up that day? Living water. The Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. And who did he offer this living water to? Did he walk into the temple and say to the priest, listen, that living water, that water that you have and you pour out here and you're doing your priestly duty and you're showing people that someday living water, the eternal life, salvation will come, the Messiah will come, and you're going to give it to only the people here in the temple. Where does Jesus speak about this? Outside of the temple. Right there in front of all the people who are not allowed into the temple to watch the priest pour the water out onto the altar. Because guess who was only allowed in the temple? Only the select exclusive people, the holy and the righteous, that the priest would decide would be let in. But what does Jesus do? He upsets their apple cart by saying to these people, if anyone out here is thirsty, anybody, no matter who you are, if you're thirsty, come to me. And I will give you living waters. I'll give you the Holy Spirit so that it will be where? Inside of you. Who's it offered to? Everybody. Anybody. And I'm sure some of those people that were even inside the temple were told by the people outside the temple who had been excluded from being in the temple, hey, this Jesus is outside talking about living water. You want to go get some of that from him? Instead of watching this priest do what he's doing, I think we actually met the Messiah. Because how do I know that? There's some of the scriptures that follow. The people start to ask, do you think this is the Messiah? Could this be the one we've been waiting for? And one of the answers they give is, well, the Messiah is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. He's from Galilee. He's from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? How could the Messiah possibly be an ordinary person, an ordinary man from a poor, obscure city and town? Why? Because that shows that God himself came in the form of being someone who would have been ordinarily and often was excluded. He wasn't the type of religious person that the people had expected. And that's how God shows up in all of our lives, isn't it? Just an ordinary guy walking around, loving people, offering them living water, saying, listen, Everybody's welcome in the family and in the church and in the home of God. There's a place in heaven for everybody. And all you have to do, it's so simple. It's so simple. You just have to believe in him. Just believe what he's saying to be true. You don't have to do any special dance or cha-cha or stand on one leg, or you don't have to go through all kinds of, you know, meetings and all kinds of things to be told about all this. All you have to do is believe, because it's offered to everyone and anyone. No exclusions. No exclusions. Now, later on in the book of Acts, however, the early church, after Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit came and there was all that noise and all that stuff going on, and they started preaching about Jesus and people were being saved in droves, sometimes the people that were there, the religious leaders, the apostles and the disciples, were arguing over whether or not you had to first be Jewish and be circumcised and then become a follower of Christ. So there was this big argument between all the apostles that the Gentiles, who were outsiders, as the scriptures tell us, they weren't Jewish. They would have to go through a Jewish ceremony in order to then become a Christian. Huh? And so in Acts chapter 15, you get all the apostles together. Now, in the meantime, and you got to read the book of Acts. It's a beautiful, this beautiful, beautiful scriptures. First of all, Peter, he goes to a Gentile's house, and he offers them, because God told him, there is no partiality. There are no exceptions. There are no exclusions. Go to the Gentile Cornelius' house and offer him God. And he does. And so that happens to Peter. And then Paul, he's laying hands on people in his ministry, and suddenly they have the Holy Spirit. And they're like, what's up with this? These are Gentiles. How is it the Holy Spirit's fallen on them too? Evidently, even though Peter was there to listen to Jesus say in John 7, everyone who's thirsty can come to me. There's no exclusions. And even though Peter had been shown by God in the book of Acts that the Gentiles were basically, I guess that's mostly us, I guess, because if you're not Jewish by birth and you didn't follow that religion, we're all considered Gentiles. So there was the Jews and the Gentiles. So it was kind of like them and everybody else. These people would have had to follow some religious ceremonies in order to be able to have the Holy Spirit. You see how quickly sometimes even those that are followers of Christ can get it wrong? Jesus was a lot more direct, simple, straightforward. Anyone who is thirsty, come to me. Period. Anyone. No exclusions. So back to Acts chapter 15. They have this big council. All the apostles gather, and they start telling stories about how the Holy Spirit even fell on Gentiles too. Can you believe it? And then in Acts chapter 15, what transpires is they realize, wait a minute, maybe, just maybe, God meant for the Holy Spirit, for God's love, for God's forgiveness, for God's salvation to be for everyone, no exclusions. And so you didn't have to get in the special, you know, circumcision club first. Oh. So here's verse 6. The apostles and the church elders got together to decide the question. After a long discussion, Peter stood up and addressed them. And he says, you know, God chose me from among you some time ago to preach so that everyone, even the Gentiles, could hear the good news and believe. God knows people's hearts, confirmed that he accepts Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he gave it to us. He made no distinction between us and them. He made no distinction. So in all of our lives, there's no distinction between any person based on race, gender, size, shape, age, class, intelligence, you name it. that are so often reasons for exclusion. There's no distinction between any person on this planet that cannot have a relationship with Jesus Christ. No person is excluded. Can we all start to believe that today? Can we also start to understand that sometimes other people, other religions, other teachers of the so-called Word of God who are misinterpreting it are trying to tell very often our brothers and sisters, whoever they may be, that they are not included in the club, that they're going to go to another place that they think they're supposed to go because they think they're the only exclusive ones that get into heaven? That we have to sometimes help clarify and help people understand that every person, no matter who they are, if they believe in God and Jesus Christ, that he died and he rose for them, he gave forgiveness of sins, he opened the door to heaven for who? And who's going to get the Holy Spirit that moves inside of us? Everyone. That Holy Spirit flows from in to out. And the fact that it flows out, that means we're to speak out to other people who sometimes feel excluded. If you've ever been kept out of any place for any given reason, and God knows all of us have been left out of many places for any number of reasons, this is the day that we have to remember that there are no exclusions. And first and foremost, it has to begin with us. We exclude no one. In fact, if anything, the people that need God the most are often the ones that are the most messed up. Oh, no. Why are you questioning God's way by burdening the Gentile believers? This conversion of the Gentiles agrees with what the prophets predicted. I will return and I will restore the fallen kingdom of David. From the ruins, I will rebuild it and I will restore it so that the rest of humanity may find the Lord, including the Gentiles. Hey, Gentiles, you're included. All those I have called to be mine. See, the reason you're hearing this message today is just in case you didn't know that you were called to be God's. You've been called today, just in case you didn't know that. And if somebody else has been trying to exclude you from God's kingdom and God's family, it's time for all of us and all of you to realize you are included, even if you're different than the rest of us. Even though people have put labels on you and me and the rest of all humanity, the us and the thems have to go. There's only us, all of us, that Jesus died for. So the word we're going to give up today, in case you didn't hear it already, is exclusions. Exclusions are for warranties. Exclusions are for return policies. But exclusions are not for God's people. There's nothing you have to do or earn to have God's love. It was already put up on a cross for all to see. It was for all humanity so that when Jesus died, he could send his spirit so that all of us could have that living water inside of us. See, at that day of that Feast of Tabernacles, we know this, that Jesus the Messiah came to fulfill the prophecies that there would be rivers of living water found in God. And Jesus came to offer it to everyone. So if you're thirsty this morning for spiritual refreshment, if you've ever been excluded from anything or anyone before, or if you've ever felt as though you've been excluded from God, that word doesn't exist in God's kingdom. Anyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Anyone, everyone. All you have to do is believe that he came, that he lived, that he showed who God was, and that he gave his life so that we could be forgiven and have eternal life. And beyond that, he also came to quench every spiritual thirst we could ever have. And the thirst that I think most of us need more than anything today is for truth. The truth is, Jesus died for us all, no exclusions. So if we think of ourselves as an exclusive club of followers of Christ, we're here to do our best to include everyone and anyone and offer them what the priest couldn't offer, just to say, well, there's going to be living water one day and I'm going to pour it out and certain people can drink of it. We're going to take that priest out and put in the real highest priest there ever was, Jesus Christ, who came and said, if you're thirsty, come to me. And I will give you living water, the Holy Spirit, so that you'll always overflow with that kind of spirit, the spirit which is love. So if you've ever felt excluded before, guess what? The word is now going forward. Included. I'm included in the family of God. I'm included. You're included. We're all included. How about being a part of that big family? The next step then is for us to always make sure, should we ever think in our head that someone should be excluded? We remember this sermon. And the Holy Spirit will guide you and say, hey, come be a part of the family of God. There's no exclusions. Amen? Amen.